KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor The Art of the Guillotine and other class horror stories on Friday, October 5th from 6 to 10 p.m. at the AFRU Gallery in Portland. In this exhibit, Shane Bugby has created a variety of handmade flags with messages for the powers that be, sculptural works that include $10,000 of real shredded U.S. currency, detention center Liberty Shanks, and a life-size model of a guillotine. The opening features snacks, cake, and interactive performances. Again, that's The Art of the Guillotine and other class horror stories on Friday, October 5th, from 6 to 10 p.m. at the AFRU Gallery, 534 Southeast Oak Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Yo.
KBOO is proud to co-sponsor the Palestinian Film Festival, October 5th to the 7th, at the Fifth Avenue Cinema in downtown Portland. From Friday evening to Sunday afternoon, the theater will feature films by and about Palestinians and the Israeli occupation.
The Stones Cry Out, a film about Palestinian Christians, will play on Friday, October 5th. Then, The Wanted 18, about the nonviolent struggle in Beit Sahur and the herd of 18 cows that Israel deemed a national security threat.
The Occupation of the American Mind, Steadfast Hope, and more.
You can find a link to tickets for the event on kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Yo, man, it's a lot of brothers out there flaking and perpetrating but scared to kick reality.
Man, you've been doing all this dope producing. You ain't had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
Yes, yes, yes. We are back, man. It's the Calculated Conversation Radio Show at KBOO 90.7 FM. Mm. And I'm sounding real crispy right now. Rawls, who the baby in the house tonight? We got Ken Jones in the house, man. Happy to have him back for the umpteenth time.
Yeah. He said that Midnight Love voice.
Right. Might have to turn down a little bit. But anyways, yeah, so we back and, you know, we are blessed to have the people listening that do listen and all the wonderful feedback and the people that's been showing some love on social media. The Calculated Conversation Radio show page on Facebook been moving around a little bit. I've seen a little energy today.
Right.
So people been tapping in, they've been commenting, they've been getting more familiar with the program, and that's a beautiful thing. So we feel blessed of that.
Yeah, we really appreciate that. The more engagement we have with y'all is stuff we want to add into the content for the show. So when y'all engage with us, when we throw these questions out there or ask your opinion, you know, it makes its way back here. So make sure y'all continue to do just that. How you been, bro?
Good, man. Good as ever. Everything is still the same. Don't mean everything is perfect, you right. know. Realistically, it just means that I understand what's going on and my role in life, and my faith is in the energy in the universe. So I don't really get worried or too concerned about anything going bad, and I don't really stress out.
Right.
And so it's a great feeling having that control and giving all that power to the energy, knowing that there's something bigger than me.
Right.
So I mean, I'm pretty cool, you know. No matter what happens, you know, I always I'm able to find a positive outlook. I'm able to find a way out, or, you know, one of the most important things is able to be patient until things play out the way, you know, the energy wants it to, instead of me trying to control what happens and when it happens. And I see a lot of people going through that, and you know, trying to create results or trying to force results or trying to expedite results. And you know, along the way, you just kind of frustrate yourself because you realize you don't really have that power.
Right.
And so that's what causes people, in my opinion, to, you know, get frustrated, you know, get negative, get stressful. And I don't really rush things. When things happen I don't like, I just kind of sit back, relax, and I trust that the universe is going to put me where I'm supposed to be. In this scenario, and that it's going to turn out to be my favor. And if it doesn't exactly turn out to be my favor, it's going to turn out to be a powerful lesson.
I'm going to tell you where I didn't exercise that way of thinking.
Sookie now.
So, Karma, my daughter, she's in a volleyball for one of these communities out here. And I won't put them on blast like that, but very unorganized setup, and where some of the problem kicks in is that the schedule, there was no schedule put up for us to know how many games, what games. So we're finding out stuff as we're going along. And like last night, which is a Monday, found out we got a game. Okay, cool. We showed up for the game, got there at 6:30. They ran through their game, got done about 7:15 or so, and then found out that there was another game at 7:45. So that's 7:45. It's a nice little school night. So we run a second game. We get done around somewhere close to 9. We got back to the house somewhere a little after 9. And then so we're trying to figure out where what's going on, like the practice, because practice started out as Tuesdays and Thursdays. Then it went to just Thursday. And then last night at about 9:45, get a message saying that we got another practice today at 4:00, 4 to 5:30. Now, where I live at is traffic is crazy. So to get maybe about 2 miles, I say about 2 miles away from the place where they practice at, and that 2 mile drive probably take about 30 to 40 minutes. You know, it's the congestion from the people getting off Intel, people coming home from Nike. It's all that stuff jumbled in right there.
Right.
And so finding that out late last night, it was like, you know, by the time I get home, you know, I basically had time to get home, grab a couple things for her, go pick her up from school, go straight to practice, then straight from practice, come drop her off at the house, and then get here.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you know, no problem if I would have kind of knew that.
Right, right.
But getting that curveball of, and then the teacher hit with the message last night and was just like, you know, she sent the message to her personal something and didn't go out to the to the group. And it's kind of like, yeah, I mean, last week you guys said it was practice on Thursdays. Mm-hmm. And for this to have switched up, you know, that kind of threw me off. I mean, of course, I was there and showed up and did my thing. But again, having to keep making these adjustments in the plans.
Right.
You know, and I got a system, a slight system as far as the home, having a child, got a timeline of when bed works, when dinner gets eaten, those type things. So that definitely threw me off. So I couldn't just run with the flow with that, although I still went with the flow. It was definitely some resistance to what was happening.
You had to have a WTF moment.
it was definitely some of that. But I guess, you know, taking it a step further and realizing that, you know, I did get a moment to kind of sit still where I wasn't at the house trying to get dinner prepared and stuff before heading over here. Gave me some time to kind of sit and get some of my thoughts together. So that was cool in that sense. So I guess, you know, that was the highlight in the situation.
And was that the bad story?
No, I mean, it wasn't even so much bad. It was just in the fact of that moment of the flow being really disrupted.
It was challenging though, huh?
Yeah.
Because it was tough. Instances is kind of tough to maintain that control.
It's about having the information, and that was the situation. Right. You know, I didn't cook dinner before because I was like, okay, we're gonna go hit this game, then we'll come back. You know, we can make up something quick while you get in the shower. I'll put together a little stir fry or something, and then find out, oh no, we got another. Oh, so it's past bedtime, and we still got to get fed. We still got to do the nightly thing. So that kind of threw the whole rhythm off.
Right, and so the point is, ladies and gentlemen, that the conversation was not calculated by the coach, and it threw off the energy.
All of that.
And so, you know, really, when it comes down to it, this is just a scenario with with that, but you know, it happens every day. Yeah. And people don't realize how much information is always missing, you know, and we think we got it covered, and you know, and we, you know, we throw people off when we don't let them know what's going on.
And for the listeners too, that this isn't an isolated incident, just so we're aware. This has been consistent week to week as far as everything jumping all over the place. There's not been a situation so far that has played out like it was mentioned in the beginning.
Right.
So this is just my frustrations coming to a head.
Right, which lets you know that we always go through stuff too, mm-hmm. you know, and we not up here preaching like we got it together, because we don't, but we getting it together with you in real time is what's going on. You know, one thing I noticed, man, like I be in traffic, I be driving a lot, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And I just kind of, you know, every time I'm driving, I'm just studying people, I'm watching people, I'm watching reactions, I'm watching actions, and I'm taking notes, and like, and people are just really angry, man. And I don't think that they really, and honestly, in my opinion, I think, you know, obviously this is not 100%, but I think for the most part, I don't think a lot of people have a real reason to be that angry. You know, I know things get frustrated and inconvenient, but the anger after that, you know, it's just a bigger issue. You just not, you know, you just haven't found a way to be content with life and happy and not take things too personal, because it's like any little thing can happen amongst members of society. And they will literally be upset at each other over something that lasted about 5 seconds, and then go on, then just go on with the rest of your life,
yeah,
like nothing just happened. Yeah. Like that's just, I'm watching that, and I'm, you know, I'm seeing people driving, and they, one little thing, or somebody don't turn when they're supposed to, or somebody's trying to get out as somebody else is trying to get out in the car, and they throwing their hands up like, man, like what are you doing? Like right. It's just that moment where you wait for somebody to go, and then you go, or somebody wait for you to go. And then they go.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. That's all you got to do. You know what I mean? But to me, it's just like, it just gets frustrating, because it's tough to see people like treat each other like that, man. When like what really happened that bad to where you got to be that upset?
You know what I will say? And this is something, because I definitely exercise this, because we've talked about this many a times when it's in traffic and the emotion. But one of the things that I think that a lot of people do not do, right, like say you made an action, mm-hmm. right, that was kind of like jarring, like you got over last second.
Right.
People rarely give like a signal, like my bad, you know, like throw just a wave or something, or you were patient and let somebody get, you know what I mean, like you stopped up traffic, let somebody come in, and then they cut. I think it's something about just being like, hey, you know what I mean, that's. I feel like people should do that more. If somebody is not being an a-hole to you, is not, you know, making this hard, especially with the merging thing. I catch that for our locals getting from the 405 to the 26. You know, it's two lanes that merge down into one. It should be left, right, left, right, left, right. It should be that simple. But you always get somebody that rides the tail of the other, so they're not letting another car over. So now you're creating a traffic jam because people are slowing up when they don't even need to be.
Right.
And we see that often. But again, it's just, you know, some of the simple things. And I think that goes a lot, because, you know, you brought it up before on one of the times where you made an error and then somebody pulled and you was like, hey, my bad. And how that and that's the same thing as a signal. You may not always have the time to roll down a window and say something, but a simple like, hey, I recognize that this kind of happened. and I'm pretty sure that was shut down at least 50% of people's reactions, because people cut over and then just look straight forward like they didn't do nothing. You know what I mean? That's the tactic.
Yeah, until you pull up next to them at the next light and they looking straight ahead like Kermit.
Right.
That's funny though, because I mean, sometimes people just want an acknowledgement that, you know, that you appreciate the support, I guess, you know. So I know personally, I make it a habit to throw my hands up and always try to wave, always try to apologize. And again, I refuse to honk my horn unless I'm avoiding an accident.
Yeah, I feel like horns is almost pointless unless it's to alert something or somebody. You know what I mean? Like as far as if somebody's already done something, come on. Somebody been sitting at the light for 10 seconds, you know, 5 to 10 seconds after the light turned green, I get it. But if I turned in and then you're like, what is the point of honking? Or, you know, you see people, and I think we've all seen this, where we're in traffic and there's somebody honking their horn as if anybody else can move.
Right.
We're an almost standstill. What are you honking for? What is that going to do? Nothing. Right. And that one always gets me to where it's like, come on, they can't do nothing else.
Right.
And I get it. You know, we get impatient, but come on.
Yeah, a lot of times it just seems like it's just frustration with the fact that things aren't going perfect and that other people are legitimately making mistakes.
Right.
And that you're not the one making a mistake this time, so you have the right to get loud and hug and get angry when really you're really not that upset. Right. You're just happy somebody else made a mistake, because that's just kind of the way I feel like we think, you know what I mean?
But stay out the fast lane doing 5 miles under the speed limit. Stay out of the fast lane, people.
I refuse to honk my horn. I'm not a fan of honking horns at all, because like people be so mad, like they be
Horn is a trigger.
They be literally I mean, a horn ain't even a honking no more. It's more like a conversation. I hear syllables coming through, like
hey. Hey, but it can mean so many things. There's like hey, I'm here. It's so many words that are said with that. It is almost a form of communication.
No, for real.
But it's all the same tone. It don't even have there's no low or high horn.
So, people, we're not going to bore you with conversations of
unless
traffic.
That might have been a $1 million idea, because high horn, low horn, they mean different things. Y'all heard it first.
But, you know, it's just a small part of something bigger. It's just that, like, we are, like, a lot of us are just naturally intolerant of the fact that other people exist. And that's just the weirdest thing. Like, you're just mad that other people are alive and they're driving and they're out here too, just like you are. You want to be the only one out here, and you don't want to be patient or, you know, acknowledgement of your mistakes and stuff. And it's just a matter of really happily, quickly, speedily pointing out the fact that someone else has made a mistake and it's not you. And this is something that happens all the time on social media, in real life. Mm-hmm. And so I try to make it a point to make sure, like, I examine myself at the same time, you know. Like, I know that, you know, a lot of times people, it's irritating, but sometimes, like, people say, well, everybody's not perfect. You think it's perfect. And it's like,
I hate that.
And it's like, this is like having, like, communicating is not perfection. that's just understanding when there was imperfection and you want to tackle it. You know, being accountable all the time is not perfection. I mean, you made a mistake first and then you become accountable. You know what I mean? And so, like, and a lot of times, you know, if we pay attention to ourselves and in our conversation and our actions, and we know our own formulas, I mean, we can correct ourselves before other people get a chance to, which is something that I like to do. I like to catch myself before other people can, so I can be accountable. Mm-hmm. You know, and when I'm corrected, you know, I listen and I hear it out, and you know, you just got to make sure that you know what you're talking about, especially. Right. With a person who always examines himself, you know. Mm-hmm. But in case I'm missing something, I'm wide open to that. You know, when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And I think it's very important to let somebody know when you're wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, I think conversations get carried out, arguments get taken down, you know, 2-3 mile radius, you know, just to try to figure out who's wrong and who's right. Sometimes, you know, and I think I wrote something. I was writing something the other day. About, you know, that there are people that are committed to resolutions and that there are people committed to misunderstandings. Mm-hmm. And so I call the people that are committed to resolution like resolutionaries. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't know where I came up with that at, but I put that in the book. But resolutionary and the people who are committed to misunderstandings are completely different. And one of the main differences is that you know, people committed to misunderstandings are, you know, they care about being right. Most usually. They want to make sure that they're right. And people who committed to resolutions, they don't really care who's right as long as we get it right together.
Right.
You can, like, and I know as far as I'm concerned, you can be right. I'm cool with that as long as we get down to what's really going on. Mm-hmm. And if you see something clearer than I do, then I'm cool with that as long as we both see it clear now. Mm-hmm. So I don't care if I'm right or wrong. You know what I mean? That's just petty to me, you know. And I just think as a people, we have to get past that. And I think that's one of the things that's kind of, you know, posing like a major speed bump to the advancement of social relations and communications and accountability, in my opinion. So what's the phone number?
I had the phone number,
503-231-8187.
231-8187. Righteous.
Please call in and let us know where you're coming from, how you feeling. If this is resonating, if it's not, if it's not making sense, if you got advice, you know, if you want to just crack a joke, whatever the case is, man, tap in with us, man. We're here to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, so you were talking about something written, like there was something that I had, and it was something that I put on our calculated page, but it was this idea, and it was, what would you do if tomorrow you woke up, or what would you do if you woke up tomorrow morning and all you have was what you showed gratitude for yesterday? Right. And that's something that like jumped out at me. And it was that idea, of course, we definitely, at least we should be all in this mind frame of striving to get to a level where we're comfortable at. And for those of us that are not there, that means striving for more, right?
Right.
And so in that striving for more, there it's easy to get caught up in this, I don't have this, I don't have that, I want to have this, I want to have that, and not taking the time to show the gratitude for what you have, where you're at right in that moment. Because, you know, no matter who you are, and I know it's cliche, but, you know, there's always somebody that wish they had what you have. Right. And kind of with that, it put me in this zone, because I feel like lately, again, being in this just uncomfortable period of transition, that I feel like, you know, something is coming, and still trying to get a clear sight on what that is. And I know it's happening. But it can be, you know, for somebody that likes to kind of know what's coming up, you know, it is a little bit uncomfortable. And some of the things that I've voiced frustrations at to myself and, you know, a few people, I had to take a second and really back. And I found myself, you know, these last couple of days when I do my normal, you know, drive in, I got a half hour drive in to the office, and had to just give the out loud gratitude, you know, starting at the base level, like family, my support system,
right,
and then just kind of working down that tree, mm-hmm, and thinking about all these things that are there, you know, life and limb, going a bit further, like education, the ability to communicate my ideas, a platform to communicate my ideas on, you know, and kind of going all the way down this list and realizing that, you know, there's a lot of things that makes this a great moment for me to be living in, but of course still wanting more, but understanding that I'm good with what's here. If I never got another thing,
exactly,
I'll make this work, and I'm okay
right
here.
Right.
But I still would like, and I'm still gonna work towards,
right,
you know, acquiring these things that have me at the point of feeling like, okay, I'm here. I'm somewhere that I want. I just think that taking that time to kind of verbalize out loud gratitude the same way people do affirmations,
right,
you know what I mean, those same things, and really taking a second to sit down and think, and not just, you know, the material things. Of course, some of the material things do make it easier to, you know, complete certain tasks, but taking into account what I'm able to do every day waking up that is makes things not a struggle for me in my day-to-day moving through,
right.
And that's just something, you know, it's just been heavy. So when that quote, you know, came across that,
mm-hmm,
I was like, yikes. So if I woke up tomorrow and kind of going through, and when I start really thinking about that, that made my list that much longer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, instead of just what am I grateful for, where's my gratitude being shown? It was what would tomorrow be like if I didn't? And that sent me down a crazy little spiral. Mm-hmm. It was like I couldn't make all the notes, mm-hmm, you know what I mean? Because one thing led to another, everything under that umbrella. Everything under there, if I said, you know, my support system, that goes so far,
right,
when you really sit and think about it.
Right.
You know,
right,
we feel singular, but when we really sit and think about it, and these exchanges that we have with the people, it's like, you know, you the bro. We sit and go back and forth. We have these, we ask questions, you know, you right, definitely reach out to me for feedback. I think people like Drex, these people that
yep,
give, and I got plenty of people that have that, or I can bounce an idea, bounce a thought off, or just be like, let me just spill all this, and then right, I'll make it make sense after I right, get it all out. You know what I mean? Understand how valuable that is. And then with my family, the people that love me, right?
Yeah.
And the people that allow me to love them. It's like these different pieces all come together for something. And I should be grateful for that, because there are people walking around these streets right now that have nothing.
Right.
You know, no contact with family, friends, none of that.
Right.
You know, they're chasing something that's not there, whether, you know, in these different addictions and so on, they got people out here.
Right.
And they've lost all of that. And so being at, you know, a level in life where some of those things are not my concern. Mm-hmm. The things that are, and that makes me feel like, you know, it's definitely something where to pour more into. You know, some of the questions I think about, you know, the conversations that I have with the people who are around me and just the random check-ins, like, what's going on? You good? Mm-hmm. Little stuff like that. I do this with all my peoples. Mm-hmm. And I think it throw people off sometimes because it's like, whoa, what you hear? You know what I mean? but or even hitting my people and being like, what's two things you scared? What are two fears you have?
Right.
Just randomly, you know, and that'd be throwing people off. But it's like sometimes you'd be wanting to kind of know what's on your mind at this time. Because
right.
then I'll follow up 3 months later and it's something different than the first time. And that lets me know the headspace you're in is, right. you know, could be somewhere different, right? Yeah. But again, it's just showing the gratitude, trying to be more aware of that. Because again, me being in this moment, and this is, you know, speaking to myself as I'm speaking to y'all, and knowing that being in these transition moments and feeling the frustrations and wondering, being in that state of wonder, like, what's next? And feeling like, you know, there's something coming, but I'm not for sure. So what is this about to do? Like, that's a weird spot for somebody that's, you know, fairly calculated in the way in which movements are made, the way in which, you know, information is taken in and mm-hmm. trying to kind of project. But I think that's where, you know, where you go in about just going with the flow and right. still even going with the flow. It's like, okay, now I'm here. I still want to know. And I mean, right. that's the struggle,
that's
right?
Stress people out.
That's the piece. Right. But having to make sure that I know that what is right here, right now, is what's for me right here and right now.
That's right.
And that's grasping that and really holding on to that. Yeah. You feel what I mean? And these little things of coming here, having this show, some of the background stuff that I do, I know that all these pieces of these puzzles, all these mm-hmm. little areas in which I've worked in, and this is for everybody else too, these areas, they're going to come together. Somehow there's going to be an overlap where it might right. seem very, like, why do I have a corner piece from over there? Why do I got a R6 piece from, you know, there?
Right,
and
right.
But it's going to come together, and I guess it's trusting in that process.
Yes.
And keep having to remind myself that the process, it's a process, and I'm trusting in that. But showing gratitude for what I have right now, because right. the other stuff is going to come.
Right. Absolutely, man. Gratitude is, I think gratitude is the difference between sometimes being positive versus being negative overall. You know what I mean? And I think when it comes down to that type of energy, those who aren't really grateful for much, they tend to be a little bit more upset with people in the world.
Mm.
You know, and those that are grateful for things, they kind of project this, you know, this array of, you know, positivity and, you know, productive energy and tolerance of people mm-hmm. and, you know, deeper connections with people, mm-hmm. you know, because they have nothing that's stopping them
right.
from reaching out and from receiving as mm-hmm. well. You know what I mean? And so the whole gratitude thing, you know, and I think one good thing about gratitude, man, is, you know, one of the most important facets, I think, of it is it definitely takes a certain level of, I want to say, you know, self-esteem. I want to say self-awareness. I want to say mental emancipation. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, where you really kind of have to understand yourself to be grateful. You know, you really have to be more in tune with who you are and what you're doing and how your life is actually different from right. everything going on around you. Mm. Because the comparison of us and that is what's driving people crazy.
Right.
It's the comparison.
Right.
That's
right.
what makes people ungrateful.
Right.
Because they
right.
see somebody else
right.
acquiring things that they think is supposed to bring happiness or that yeah. looks like is bringing them happiness.
Right.
You know, and realistically, that may just be something for them. Yeah. And, you know, when you're okay with, your neighbor having a mansion and you having a, you know, a small meager house that's still productive and feasible for you, you understand the difference of that. You just as happy as this guy, if not more. You know, he may, you know, sometimes people define themselves by those things. You know, and then other people, you know, grasp onto that concept and they try to define themselves by not having those things. You know what I'm saying? And so when that happens, you in a state of discomfort and you proactively trying to be, you know, reach this level of happiness by thinking you have to acquire these things, and along the way you just upset at the process. You frustrated with the process. The process ain't moving fast enough. You want your process to look like their process. You know, and that's when the individuality has to, you know, has to come full circle. You have to respect the fact that you were created for a different reason. You were created to have different values. You know, you are created to be grateful in other ways. You know, you may not be defined by these things, but you can define yourself by your own level of self-awareness, and your ability to take advantage of your own personal gifts. And realize that that's not in comparison. And realize that's not in comparison with anything going on around you, man. You know what I mean? And, and that's the level. And so when you get, you know, like I think I was having a conversation with somebody, and basically my opinion, not fact, my opinion is, you know, when it comes to a lot of things that people define themselves, and I know one of the biggest things I know in our rich country is big houses, is fancy cars, it's a lot of money, it's certain material items, it's, you know, high fashion, it's things of this nature, it's fancy dinners. People want to define their happiness by these things, and I believe personally, unless it's just a celebration, if it's a celebration, it's still not a definition. That's just a celebration.
The moment.
You know, but the definition is when people don't have their own self-definition. So you have to define externally. You know what I mean? People want to define externally, and once you define internally, you have no need to flaunt fancy houses. Fancy cars, belts, shoes, outfits. Like, none of these things can define a man that is so, you know, so self-preserved and, you know, and internally in touch and aware. Those things mean nothing. He shines just as much, just as bright as anybody with all those things without having none of them. Because what's internal is a lot more powerful than what's outside. You know,
and I agree. I think too, there's people definitely chasing where, and this is a thought I had, and I wrote this like years back, of where thinking if we didn't have to worry about where food was coming from, where we were going to be able to sleep, you know, the basics of human, basic human needs, right? That stuff was taken care of. It's so many of us and out here in the world, so many people that's what the struggle. So their idea is more money, because more money creates a certain type of freedom. It's freedom from that worry. You feel me? And that's where I think a lot of people, it's not so much of having a mansion. It's about my rent not offsetting everything else. It's these groceries, you know, having to stretch and not being able to. So I think there's, you know, definitely a lot of people who are striving because the idea of money relieves that pressure. It's not so much that they want to be extra fancy. They need all these things. There definitely are those people who are chasing the material and what it's supposed to look like, because this has a certain status and puts you at a certain level, or at least people that's perceived. When they look at you and see, oh, you pulled up in the BMW. Okay, you jumped out. Okay, Gucci down. Okay, I see something. As opposed to, I pull up in my Tahoe and I get out in my jeans and my Nikes. You know, those are two different interpretations of what's happening. Not knowing that behind that could be really fruitful over here in this Tahoe, in these jeans, compared to that. But I definitely feel that there is a big subset of people who are chasing this idea and haven't figured out who they are because of having to chase these things just to make sure the basics are handled. And that's I think an interesting place for people to be in, where most of your attention, not most of it, let me not say most because I don't know, but a lot of attention going towards that. And when you're stressing about that, how much time is there to think about, you know, the things that you are, what you would like to do? And I wonder how many people are caught in that kind of a kind of a circle, kind of an exchange to where it doesn't give them. And I just think that a lot of times people are chasing a dollar for the freedom that it gives. And there are a lot of people also chasing this dollar because of what it's seen as,
right,
with this status. I think that they, you know, it's attached to power.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's the idea, because power is what? It's alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
Power opens up your ability to have options.
Right.
And that's who, depending on who you are at the core, just like we've talked about before, money don't make you different. Money make you more who you were to begin with.
Right. And so with that, you know, I'm gonna go back to the word that I used earlier, which was define, definition.
Right.
Now, you know, things need to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, money is a necessity for livelihood.
Right.
And we all know that. And again, you know, I'm just, you know, as far as gratitude, you know, because there are people who are barely paying their bills who are mm-hmm. grateful for just that.
Right.
You know,
oh, yeah.
And they're not really tripping on no more than that.
Right.
And so I think when we look at that, you know, that's
are they not tripping, but are they just grateful that they can do what they can do?
Yeah, but see, these are the people that, see, you got, there's a difference between people that talk about, you know, freedom, vacation, livelihood, and then there's people that talk about just money, just yeah. cars,
right.
just high end fashion.
Right.
So we talk about difference between, you know, definition mm-hmm. as opposed to necessity. Now, money's going to be behind these vacations and this good energy and this freedom.
Right.
But if it doesn't define you, you're not going to discuss money.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're not going to introduce yourself with your money. You're not going to introduce yourself with your vehicle.
Wholeheartedly.
You're not going to introduce yourself with your house. A lot of people that actually have money who really knows it's just a means to end of freedom, they don't really need to mention
it. They hopping out the Tahoe.
Right. They don't need to mention it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so that's all I'm saying. And so, you know, a lot of times I think people get caught up in looking at the people who are glamorizing money, and they feel guilty about that,
yeah.
you know, and they feel a little bit left out the loop, and they get stressed out. They want to live that lifestyle, you know, and sometimes, like, I'm just saying that, you know, if that's the definition, you know, it might be a little bit longer ways to finding that happiness is all, you know, and we all different. So, I mean, definitely, I'm not saying throw all your money out, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm not going to do that, but I'm definitely not going to tell you that it's the only thing that's important to me either.
Right.
You know, so I know we got some phone calls. I don't want to miss out on people. Before we go to them, if you want to call in too, keep in mind the number is 503-231-8187. Man, we taking calls. We live. It's a good time to have these conversations right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we got Jeff on the line still. Let's bring him in.
Hey, man.
Jeff,
what's going on?
Oh, a little of this, a tiny bit of that, and an itsy bitsy tiny bit of the other, which we don't talk about. So this, that, and the other. except that I do, but I did want to very quickly say that I express my gratitude for your careful, thoughtful, and calculated conversations. As I said before, this is the greatest program on radio, and thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
You're welcome, Jeff.
The things that we're looking at, it seems to me, are certainty, uncertainty, and envy. In the sense that out there on the roads, that is the way it is. It's awful. And then when you get something like David, you mentioned, someone does something different and not quite right and so forth, it's that uncertainty factor that can throw us.
Hmm.
We want to be fairly certain. Just like we want to be certain at the end of the month that the paycheck is good, that it's going to go into the bank and the bank will honor it and it will not bounce.
Right.
The paycheck won't bounce.
Right,
but that's a certainty, an issue of certainty. And uncertainty is the one thing that will throw us way, way off.
Mm.
And one thing you cannot necessarily be certain about, though grateful for, is all you've got. And this is why I mentioned last week that a diagnosis of cancer, which I have not had personally, but a diagnosis of cancer can throw in a huge monkey wrench of uncertainty and can really, really throw you off.
Yes.
And it can ruin entire families. And the envy comes in very quickly. Not just in that case, but as a secondary subject is envy,
mm-hmm.
and we are inculcated in a culture that encourages us to envy what others have. Mr. Smith, Mr. Jones. You've heard about the Smiths and the Joneses. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Heard that a million times. And that envy often is what drives what I call the striving classes, which is what used to be called the middle class, to which I respond, what is this middle class of which you speak? It no longer exists. Mm-hmm. But striving classes have been encouraged over the course of way long time to operate out of a center of envy, and to the point where it can become even jealousy, mm-hmm. and that of course leads to conflicts of all kinds. Mm-hmm. But the certainty and uncertainty, we can be certain that the flow exists. We can be certain that, for lack of a better term, because of my training, and I know others have been too, we can be certain that there is a Holy Spirit. Hmm. For my Christian friends. Hmm. But we cannot be certain of the future, which is why we go often into it with such trepidation. When you were, Ken, for instance, when the coach of the volleyball team said, oh, we've changed our practice ideas, mm-hmm. you were thrown quite a loop. Mm-hmm. And it made things quite uncertain, which is to say uncomfortable, and then frustrating, leading to griping and complaining, mm-hmm. which is just like we do with each other in traffic. From Rodney King, the famous philosopher, who once asked, can't we all just get along? This is the question of our time, because to get around, which is our incredible freedom in this country, to get around, we must get along. Which means we must in some ways be prepared for the uncertainty of our fellow humans, our brothers and sisters, cousins, the like, whatever you want to call these other copies of you. Hmm. If you know what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
So to be prepared for uncertainty, but certain about the flow of energy, the universe, the Holy Spirit, whatever it is that keeps me alive from moment to moment, mm-hmm. that causes all of these corpuscles to rush through these veins and pump it out again and again and again, repeatedly, involuntarily, and apparently forever, well, at least until I die. That spirit is something close to certain and needs to face and understand to be one with whole with its own certainty in order to face uncertainty. And for goodness sake, yep. do not go anywhere near envy.
Yeah.
It will kill you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I deeply appreciate you taking my call, and continue on, man, with the greatest program on radio. Thank you.
Right. Love you, Jeff. Thanks, man.
And Aaron, if you out there, Aaron.
Aaron, call back,
call
please.
Back.
We sorry about
Baby,
that.
Baby, come back.
We sorry about that. You can blame it all on us. These conversations are important, though, and we'd like you to call back if you can, or if anyone else wants to call in, please do. 503-231-8187. He said to get around, we must get along. You liked that one, huh?
All right. Yeah. I had to throw that down on the notepad.
Yep, but I know a couple of days ago I wrote a post. I forgot what it said, but I said somebody needs to hear this. You are still alive. It's not too late. Mm. You know, whatever it is that is frustrating you or stressing you out, just sit back and think about what needs to change. Sometimes the difference between, you know, us being stressful and us being relieved and relaxed is what needs to change. What decision needs to be different? What decision have we been making this whole time that needs to change? Like, sometimes we want external circumstances to change. We want people to change. We want the world to change. We want society to change. And we neglect to realize that we have a certain power within us to change something first. Mm. If we want to set forth the motion of external change anywhere, you know, through the transfer of energy, you know, and self-awareness, And so we have to be accountable. We can't always look for other things and other people to change. It doesn't necessarily work like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to change.
Right.
You know, and the best thing, again, that we can all do for ourselves is look at ourselves, you know, and realistically, this is one of the things that, you know, this show is about, you know. Calculating the conversation or actions is not us trying to get other people to talk different or to act different or telling them what they should be doing.
Right.
It's us changing what we're doing or what we're saying in order to incite a different reaction. Mm. It's us changing the formula, you know, and like we don't really get nowhere. Like, you know, it's tough to get anything to change looking outside the window, you know, when the house is, you know, dirty. You know, you can vacuum inside, but you can't vacuum the grass. You know, you can't go sweep the whole world. You know right. what I mean? Sweep your house up first, then let's talk about how we can clean up the rest of the world.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I think this is, you know, it may sound a little bit like reverse psychology, but, you know, it's important, man. You know, it's important, man. You know, everything, your whole world changes once you look at your role in it, man. Is what I believe.
And be real with yourself. And not just be real with yourself. I think a theme through this show that keeps being pointed out, make lists, write stuff down.
Right.
Like really put it on paper so that it's not just a fleeting thought. Something that you can actually refer back to, because when you're sitting down and having to kind of, you know, go through some of these things that you may need to have a self-check about what is it about you that's kind of throwing these situations off. You might have to make this list. You might have to jot this down, and you may not get it all in one sitting. You might have to come back to that tomorrow night, and you don't want to leave out something that in that moment was a major thing that you thought you would remember, because I'm the first to tell you, I need to put it on paper. when it comes to certain things, I wake up in the middle of the night with some grand old ideas, wake up 4 hours later, and I knew it was good. I just got to let it go. But put stuff down on paper, because again, that's something also that you can quantify and be able to come back and see.
Right.
Because a year from now, that list may have changed. And what's better than being able to look and see what's kind of been checked off of there, what right. adjustments have been made, not right. just mentally, because you'll forget stuff. It's like pilots. You could have 50 years flying planes. You still have a checklist you have to go through.
Right.
Make these marks on this actual paper.
Right. Right.
To make sure, no matter how much you know this and could do this with your eyes closed in the dark backwards, they still have to do that. So why not do that for yourself? Right. You know, take that into you. Make these lists. Make these things that you can kind of refer back to. There's nothing like it. I mean, even with simple things like a to-do list, it's something about crossing something off when it's written down on paper and you like that's finished outside of just a mental note of it. But to actually see that and see it checked off, there's something that does to make you feel accomplished.
Right, right. Look, speaking of that, look.
Look, right.
These are my days. I got my notebook right here. And these are like, I got to meet him. I got to meet her. I got to go here. I got to go do this. Like, I try to. You see, I checked off a few things.
Right,
right. You know, I think it helps you from getting flustered, though.
Right, and that's easy. And especially, I feel like, you know, it's some of us who are brain, it's so many ideas, so many things flowing through. And if anybody know me, they know I got a million notepads, and that's one of my problems. I need four and just put them in places, but I got a bunch.
Right.
And the thing is, there's always something flowing, and no matter how great sometimes I think something I thought, and how much I'm gonna remember that, it's been too many times of being like, what was I know, and trying to, you know, and it's funny trying to retract thoughts and be like, I was talking, this song was playing, you know what I mean, trying to get these different cues to bring it back. But it's putting the stuff down on paper, and I'm putting that out because, again, this is something that I do. Right. I've got my calculated journal that comes in here, the notes we put in here, and I've also got my personal journal at the house. And, you know, it's sometimes notes that I put in here get transferred to there because it's things you've said. It's things that I've said without even realizing I was going to say them. It was like, hold on, I got to remember that because the way in which I just put that was great.
Right.
You know, or somebody called in and said something. And it was like, this is something that's going to get transferred to my personal setup.
Right.
And it's crazy, too, being able to go back because I've got a journal from back when I was, like, 16, 17, uh-huh. and being able to go back and just see some of my thoughts on this day of this year,
right.
and being like, yikes, you know, that's really how I was thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not just a memory at that point. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I like the not just like the idea. I think it's beneficial to be able to look back and see these changes and having these moments with yourself to where you are listing what you think are your strengths, but not only your strengths, your areas for improvement,
right,
or seeing what that variable is. I mean, your life is your constant. What is the variable in there? What's been added or you know, something that can be taken away that you've seen make a difference in, you know, how your interactions are with people?
Mm-hmm.
What's something that keeps getting brought up in conversation about why people can't talk to you or
right,
why, you know, you were let go, whatever it may be. If there's something consistent, start looking at that and examining that.
Right.
But putting it down on paper and kind of expanding, put that word, like right now on this paper right here, I wrote gratitude.
Right.
There's a tree, a cascading tree of words coming from there. All of them connected to the other one. It started with gratitude and then expanded into about 10, 15 other things from
right,
there. And the same things can be done with these pieces of ourselves.
Right. Right.
Put it down on paper. Put it on bees.
Put it on paper. That's a I noticed that a lot of successful, you know, say music artists, comedians and things like that, like writers,
mm-hmm,
they write all day, every day, everywhere they go.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And the thoughts that we all have that are good, that
mm-hmm,
we let go because we don't write down, they maintain those thoughts on paper,
mm-hmm,
and they put them together and build a story around it or whatever the case is, and they become successful based off that level of you know, catching back up to those
right,
thoughts. We lost so many good thoughts. I know that I was at a Damon what's the dude?
Wayne's?
No. Nah.
Crawford?
I wanted to say Dash too, but no. No, but the one from Shark Tank, what is it? Damon
oh,
John. Yeah, Damon John, man. Like, I went to one of his little workshops like a few years ago. And I went to the one a week ago or a couple weeks ago too, but a few years ago I went to one, and they said that one thing that really tore me up, man, was the dude came on, and one of the first things he said, where are some of the greatest ideas at? He's like, where do you think the greatest ideas at? And everybody had an answer. He said, you know where they are? The greatest ideas are in the graveyard.
Without even being there, that was my answer.
You was going to say that,
I was going to say that.
Yeah, so it's like, you know what I mean? Like, you want to keep your ideas alive and keep
man,
your life alive and keep your schedule alive. You know, I can't really tell you how many times I felt guilty, you know, driving past a customer, their house, and knowing I was not really realizing I was supposed to go there. And just drive right past. I done drove past so many people's houses, man, because I didn't write it down. Like, it's great. And I get home, be like, oh, man.
Or even that idea may have not, in that moment, you may have not been ready to execute that idea.
Mm.
It was still a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so what if 3 years from now, 5 years from now, you're in the position to be able to actually take that idea and do something with it?
Right.
Have that written down.
Right.
It may seem out of touch right now, but that's not a reason to just disregard it.
Yeah. We have a lot of thoughts as human beings. I forgot. There's a certain amount of thoughts we have every day. I forgot what it was. It's a crazy number, though. But
I wouldn't even want to know.
But, yeah, some of those, you know, like, it's good to keep intact so you know where your mind was at the time. And these be amazing ideas, man, like amazing thoughts. And I have them all day, and I just feel guilty because I lose most of them, man, when I'm not writing and I'm not thinking about writing, you know. You know, and I think it's good to stay on top of that, man.
That's what I'm trying to get more handy with. The fact that I have a personal computer in my pocket in my hand at most times of the day. And it's still, for me, there's still something about writing it on paper as opposed to typing it, you know, in note on the iPhone or something, putting it in there. But still, it still access to where I did actually finally created a calculated folder in there. Got my different things to show topics and so on. So when something just pops in, I'm like, let me, because this 10 seconds does it take me to pull up this, jump in here, make this note, as opposed to trying to remember this
right,
in 3 days, and I'm going to spend 10 minutes trying to gather a thought and try to, you know, backtrack through.
Right.
But just what it is right there. So it don't always got to be pen and paper, but just get it down. Get it a voice memo. Voice
right,
memos work just as well.
Right. Voice memo it and then go back, you know, write it down, figure it out, add to it,
yeah,
subtract to it, build on it. And next you know, you got a great piece of information there that's originated by you that you can actually use for something great, you know. I just found out today I had a dentist appointment. I'm glad they called me because, hey, they called me. I'm glad they called me, though. It's like, David, do you have an appointment tomorrow at 1 o'clock? I'm like, I do. I said, what's it for? And she's like, filling. I was like, I'll be there. Hey. I'll be there. Thanks for calling. Like, you know, I like when they call, but
that sounds like General Dino. They be on top of it.
That's, I think that might have been who it was, man. Dan Beaverton?
Yeah.
That's funny. But anyways, people, so, you know, take notes. Keep your gratitude level high. The more grateful you are, the more you attract the things you're grateful for, you know. Me personally, I wake up a lot of time. I wake up almost every day and I'm like, man, I can't believe I'm still alive. You know, I'm glad to be here. The sun's out. I'm happy. It's great. My life is not perfect. There's things that I can consider frustrating going on all the time in everybody's lives. But I'm very, very happy, very thrilled to be in control of my mind and grateful for the things and not complaining. You know what I mean? I don't want to complain about nothing. You know, and if I ever got a problem with something that doesn't suit me well, you know, I'll write about it. And I won't complain about it. You know, I'll acknowledge it.
Right.
But I will start to write a resolution.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, I think we need to be about resolutions and solving problems. You know, we have a lot of people that love to talk about problems. We got a few people that love to talk about resolutions.
Man.
And I want to sit with, you know, and I want to sit with the resolutionaries. You know, those are people that are bright-eyed, they're listening, they're open-minded, and they want things to be, you know, reasonable for all parties and people involved, you know. And I think it's great to get yourself around these people and try not to spend too much time around those just talking about problems.
Yes.
You know, like,
it still
like, mind boggles me that, you know, I check. Like, I do look online because, you know, we post a lot of stuff and, you know, movements and products and, you know, sometimes happy quotes and whatnot. But I still can't believe that people still take the time to share things with people that they actually don't like. Like, what are you going to do about this?
It's why everybody got to jump ship and go to LinkedIn. I be on LinkedIn now, just scrolling
what,
that timeline.
What they do on
there? It didn't change. It's all the good. It's all the good stuff.
Is it?
It's all the good stuff. Because at that point, I mean, these are people, you know, looking for jobs or people putting information out. So you don't want to be on here talking sad, talking about everything going wrong in life. So the conversation, it's more information than anything on there. Actual valid information. So I find myself being on there more than anything else. Like, I'm scrolling and interacting on that platform a lot more. Something, though, before we get out of here today, I do want to jump in. Just laugh more.
Right.
Like, be cool with laugh. Like, there is so, laughing is so fun. Like, there's almost not a situation I can think of where you can't find something about it. And it made me think earlier, I was thinking about, I remember getting a whooping once when I was young. It was something I did, and not even like young. I might have been like 9, 10. And my mom asked me something, and the way, because, you know, when, like, being frustrated parents, they be just saying whatever sometimes because their frustration is that high. And whatever she said was so funny to me.
Right.
And I think it triggered her even more. So as I'm getting this whooping, I'm laughing, and I could not stop laughing just because the mental image of the face she made and whatever she said was overpowering whatever was going on.
Really?
With her. Yes. And for me, this is the thing. Like, it's you know, there's a lot of situations I've been in that people can tell you this is a weird situation for you to be smiling or finding something funny about.
Right.
And that's just that's it works. And again, I think there's I don't know, it's just, it's so much to it. Like, I've been too many places where everybody's trying to be tough, everybody's trying to be this way, and I'm gonna, if it's funny, even if it's about me, if it's funny, it's funny.
Right.
There's no hold bar. And being able to have that and find a little bit of something to laugh at, even if it's yourself, how much that can actually push your day through.
Right. What was you getting whipped with, man? Was it a shoestring? Because I know that, you know, I know if I laugh back in the day, my mom, oh, it's funny? She come back,
I mean,
with a crowbar.
Believe me, I've been handled in extreme ways, but there's something about that situation I could not, and it could have been a mix of fear and all these other things amplifying it, but I laughed. And, you know, one thing in addition to that, you know, I remember a conversation when I was younger, my mom telling me that I think everything is funny. And I told her, and this is as a kid, I told her, I don't think everything is funny. It's just, what's the point of sitting,
right,
being mad and being sad about everything?
Right. So with that being said, more gratitude.
More laughter.
More
social medias of the calculated conversations being visited.
Right. Less arguing. last comparison. So remember, Facebook, we are at the Calculated Conversation radio show.
Radio show. Right?
And then on IG, we're at Calculated Conversation, Twitter, Calculated Talk, and then CalculatedConversation.com on the web, man. Check us out. Check us out. Appreciate you guys listening. We out.
Capabilities, and now I'm living in correctional facilities. Cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor, my behavior is hereditary, but my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it get funky when you got a subject and a predicate. Add it on a dope beat, and it'll make you think. Some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach, cause they don't flow like this one. You know what? I won't hesitate to diss one or two before I'm through, so don't try to sing this. Some drop science, well I'm dropping English. Even if Yella makes it a cappella, I still express yo, I don't smoke weed or sex. Cause it's known to give a brother brain damage, and brain damage on the mic don't manage nothing but making a sucker in you equal. Don't be another sequel.
This is KBOO Portland.
Girl in the cut of sheet, you take like going.